Good morning. Today is Monday. So far, so good. 8th of November. Joining us this morning is interim Humboldt County Superintendent of Schools. Is that the right title?
I'll go with Superintendent of Schools and find out in June.
That's right. Approaching political candidate, Michael Davis Hughes. You know, that's a whole different part of the building that you've never seen around here. Mm-hmm. I suspect that we'll be talking.
I suspect so.
Yes. But right now, we're talking totally differently. Are you ready for your question?
I have been preparing for this all weekend, Brian.
All right. So I've got either a banker option or a horse.
I like horses.
All right. Why is a horse's slow gallop called a canter?
Oh.
Maybe not so much anymore.
This is the one thing I didn't study up on over the weekend.
Yeah, with all the budgets and everything else, you were, yeah.
Slow gallop. Why is it called a canter? Does it refer back to some old English term for a walk, for a trot?
Could be.
Could be.
Could be.
Could be. Why don't we just why don't we leave it at that?
Well, we want you to get full credit here where credit is due. When pilgrims used to make their periodic treks on horseback to the shrine of Thomas Becket at Canterbury.
Canterbury.
Okay.
So there was an England association.
Yep. They typically rode along the old Kent Road at a slow gait, somewhat between a trot and a gallop. This gait, which was a bit particular to watch, became known as the Canterbury Gallop. Mm. The term stuck, and over time it gradually was shortened until today the peculiar gait is called just a canter.
Love it.
Almost got to the home front on that
almost,
one.
Almost.
Huh?
Almost. I'll study up for the
next
one.
You started mm-hmm. processing, and things kind of happened there.
And I've only had one cup of coffee,
yeah.
Imagine what could have happened with two.
Or you throw in some orange juice or something. You know, holy Toledo. Yeah, watch out. There's an edge over there somewhere.
Yeah, I don't want to go over the edge here.
Yeah. Oh, surprised with the selection?
Very grateful. Not surprised. No, I mean.
Well, I mean, you know, a lot of times you throw your hat in the ring and you don't know what the competition is going to be like. And then you look around and you go, oh, gee. Okay. And you do your best and, you know, the chips fall where they do. And then you get the tap on the shoulder.
You know, it was a fascinating process, I'll put it that way. First of all, the five candidates that were interviewed, they're all friends of mine. You know, I know them professionally. I know them personally. So that was interesting. And then everything was done in open. It was public, right? So we had public interviews that were both in person and then live streamed. And then we had public deliberation by the board. And a public decision. So that is unusual. You know, normally those things are done closed session. So that was just fascinating to sit there in the audience and watch the board go through that process.
Yeah, and not to disparage the results, but I thought it was cool it wasn't unanimous.
There was some struggles.
That actually indicates that there was thought process and people had their opinions, and everybody kind of weighed in instead of. I really don't like 5-0 anythings because it's like it's either rubber stamped or there was not collusion, but there was the gamesmanship. You can't get five people together to determine what kind of spaghetti sauce is the best, let alone something, you know, as critical as selecting a superintendent.
Yeah.
I mean, that's cool. So what did you learn out of it?
I learned that from the process itself or from the result? From the process?
No, I'm not going to bust you. Okay, no. One week in, how good was Chris? Yeah, I mean, that's...
It was democracy in action, you know? That's why I said it was fascinating because as someone coming from the UK, just to be a part of that, it was democracy in action. And I thought it was transparent. And there were some fierce conversations that took place. I thought it was awesome, to be honest with you.
Did you come away either with a couple more things on a punch list, a few things for consideration? I mean, because, you know, when they talked about everybody, you know, everybody had strong points.
Yeah.
Okay. You go, you know, yeah, make a note.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, okay. And pretty soon your 3x5 is now a 5x7, or it's on your laptop.
Yeah, definitely. Just look back and thought, not so much how would I answer that differently, because I thought that I knew that I answered all the questions with authenticity. And
yeah, your way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And not all of those things resonated with each member of the board's perception and belief. And that's to be expected. So I know that I need to work with the county board, and that's important, you know, that we're all working together, rowing the boat in the same direction. So what's important to me is to understand the issues really clearly, multiple perspectives, because I come in with my own perspectives and biases.
Yeah, but so, before you sit down with them, or can you meet individually with one board member? Okay.
Individually.
Because I know Brown Act is in there somewhere.
It is indeed. Yeah, you got to be careful with what's called serial meetings where, you know, you are the intermediary between the conversations and certainly can't do that.
I think we call that the contagion these days. Yeah, you always like that one, huh? Oh, with the questions that were asked.
Yes.
What was the weirdest one?
Oh, the weird.
Or the surprise one, the outlier, if you will.
I would say the one that was most challenging, I'll put it that way, was the question around school choice, parent choice for schools.
Inner district or private, public in homeschool?
Inner district, okay. Mostly around inner district, because that's one of the responsibilities of the Humboldt County Board of Education is to hear the appeals for inner district transfers. And so,
does that go up to your level?
It comes to the county,
but not to the superintendent.
Well, the superintendent's, you know, in that meeting, but it's the board's decision. And so that was an interesting question, and one that, you know, I knew I had my own opinions, but those were personal opinions. And knowing the role that I have now, again, it goes back to having multiple perspectives, hearing everyone's input on an issue, so that I understand it fully before I, you know, kind of weigh in.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Join Warren Eckstein on KINS in the 6 o'clock hour as he explains pet behaviors, different fun facts, tips, and all sorts of info about your animals and the way they think and act.
Here are just some of the things that kids learn when they have pets in their life.
If you're an animal lover, this is absolutely the program you need to hear.
You know, vocalizations are a very important part of animal communication and their language. Hi, this is Warren Eckstein. Hear my daily pet tip weekdays on KINS FM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with superintendent for 7 months, Michael Davis Hughes. Do you have through the calendar year next year?
Well, hopefully 4 years beyond
that. Well, yeah, I know. Yeah, plus four. Okay. But when was the appointment good through?
It would be January of 2023.
Okay, so you got a little bit of time there to do some stuff if you want. And I guess that's a question I think a lot of people have, whether it's a city manager or someone in your position. You're there. You don't want to redecorate the room yet.
Oh, I already did that.
Oh. You finally got rid of that eagle that was in there?
No. No, the eagle's still there.
Oh, is it?
It's on the top of the U.S. flag.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cute. But, you know, you want to make some changes and get some things going. But, yeah, you know, if it's a two-year project kind of thing, well, let's wait and see how things play out. How do you determine what you want to do initially other than just learning?
Yeah. Well, that's the biggest piece, Brian, right now, is to take it all in, is to really understand the organization, understand the successes, and understand the gaps. You know, I think that well, you know, within that first 30 days, 45 days, you come in with rookie eyes. And so you have this great opportunity and a small window, narrow window, in which you can kind of look at things and say, huh, I wonder why we do it this way. And
almost as a consultant. You dropped into a new environment. You don't have any, you're not having to protect anything. You don't make any assumptions on anything. You're just seeing.
You're seeing. The difference there is that a consultant gets to leave at the end of that period,
whereas you're
embedded in the organization,
right.
and you're driving that organization for the future. And so there's a lot more, you know, investment and
buy-in is a little deeper.
It's a lot deeper. I think that's a great opportunity to have those rookie eyes coming in. And obviously, I want to take advantage of that, but also recognize the extreme hard work that's been put in to establish the organization as it stands right now.
Appreciate where it is.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Does everybody recognize you?
Everybody in the organization recognizes?
In the grocery store, right, they have secret shoppers. People that go through and they just kind of look around and see and they report and, you know, it's a feedback loop for management.
Yeah.
I would suggest you're probably too well recognized now. So you couldn't just pop in on a school campus somewhere and just see how are they doing it.
For sure. No, I don't think I'm that recognizable. No, especially with a mask, right? So, you know, there is some little bit of being incognito.
That's the Frankenstein thing you got on.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. The green makeup. Okay, yeah, you blend in. Don't worry about it.
Right, right. But, you know, I'm very interested in dropping in and seeing what's going on in the districts that we have, the 31 districts that we serve. I want to see what's going on in those districts and understand the organizations and the unique needs that we have. We have, you know, school districts from the size of 8 students all the way up to 3,600 students. So
that's
needs.
That's always been one of the questions that people have got. And whether, well, I don't know, I only go back to Booker. You know, yeah, it's a neighborhood. Yeah, it's a community. Yes, it's reflective. But there's also a cost ratio of effectiveness that's in there. It's got to be so challenging having 31 different districts and then trying to be a resource for 31 different perspectives and 31 different boards. That's you're going to go to a whole bunch of nighttime meetings now?
Well, I am interested in coming to some board meetings for the districts that we serve, absolutely, because you can really understand what some of those issues are that they're dealing with, as well as meeting with the administrators that serve those districts as well, just to fully understand, you know, what's necessary to support them. And there's the short-term stuff and there's the long-term stuff. I mean, right now we're dealing with how to support students through COVID, how to support staff through COVID, how to support families through COVID with an educational lens. That's right in front of us, but then what's the long-term? What are the things that we need to be working on long-term? And there are commonalities there, right? Those 31 districts, we all have things in common that we want to work on. I mean, you can't argue against, we want to improve educational outcomes for kids.
Yeah, there's bedrock. Okay, yes.
The hard part.
Everybody's there. How to do it.
Yeah, how to do it.
Yeah.
You know, what are those drivers? What are those really key drivers that can make a big difference? The best bang for your buck, if you want.
What might be kind of interesting, I don't know, yeah, you don't have a whole bunch of free time to do it, would be to do an outreach either to four-year schools, out of the area four-year schools. I guess that would be Humboldt. And the marketplace. Business owners, from the itty-bitty guys like us to the big boys like St. Joe's. And you know, what do you want? What do you need? Coming out and find out how in sync everything is and to be able to share that with your various districts.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great thing to look at because we are looking at partnerships. You know, we're looking at what's beyond the classroom, right? So how can we make teaching and learning relevant for our students going into the future? Because, you know, you've heard the adage of we've got to prepare the students for work, for jobs that don't even exist right now.
Lifetime learners.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's 8:30.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Live. Real Red Meat Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Michael Davis Hughes, superintendent. See, you've gone from partial to temporary to now you're there. It only took me half
I'm
an
full.
Hour.
Yes.
Oh, what is the biggest challenge that you see? You know, everybody goes in and they got, okay, here I am. And there's one or two things that from the outside look like those were the things you wanted to do. And it's not like, Chris or any of the previous superintendents really missed the boat on anything,
yeah.
But it's that thing. Let's go. Okay, that's the first thing I want to right now. That's the first thing that I want to deal with. I'm sure that was one of the questions you were asked also. So, what changes would you like to make?
Yes, you know, broadly, those questions are asked for sure. I would say that, you know, it's difficult to parse out the short term and the long term. In terms of, as I mentioned earlier, the COVID piece of things. But I would say that the thing that I would like to address the most and the thing that we can do the most in terms of supporting our districts is build staff capacity, is to make good better. Because the reality is everyone is struggling with finding staff. You know, there are staffing shortages in the public sector, in the private sector, and in the public sector, education is spared no differently. So what is really important...
Are there less kids getting a teaching credential, or have the areas where you need to have qualified staff increased so much that it's not just teachers? It's all these other things that you need.
Absolutely. We do have more need for support staff, but in the teaching profession... Precisely, we have less individuals that are coming into the teaching profession because, you know, it's a tough profession. And we want to make sure that the people that we have coming in are the best prepared. And that doesn't just happen.
And have the calling. The two are really locked together for the ideal teacher, right?
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. And there are some exciting things that are occurring even here in Humboldt State. With a program that they have, a four-year program that they have. So students are coming in. They're getting experience in the classroom early on in that pathway so that they understand, make a decision. Is this for me?
Is that rare? I would think that would be, if anybody had a teaching degree,
yeah,
that they would be working with the locals and trying to get the students maybe as a sophomore, after the college, it's kind of underneath their... Get them in the classroom and say, we don't want you to waste the next 3 or 4 years if this is not what you want to do.
No, so that is occurring now. We're having students coming into the classrooms to really see what teaching and learning is all about and to see if that fires their passion, right? Because that's what we want to have in the classroom. So, but you don't learn everything. You can't possibly learn everything without having that experience. But once you're in the classroom... You want to make sure that you're supported. And I'm not just talking about new teachers. I'm talking about veteran teachers who need that support to build their capacity. I mean, look at what the new skills that really all teachers needed in terms of distance learning, right?
How about just computer? Go back 30 years.
Yeah.
There was, we're still running movies, right? On the projectors.
Yeah.
Overhead.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The old overhead projector.
Yeah. Oh, I thought that was so cool. You'd make a little doodle and it's up there on the wall.
Yeah. I still remember having purple hands from the old resale machine.
Yeah. Maybe a graph machine. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I can remember putting the ink on them. God, were we old.
Stinky stuff. Stinky stuff, I tell you what. So, yeah, things have changed considerably now in the classroom. So we want to make sure that our teachers and our support staff are well-prepared. You know?
Well, you've also got then the legal challenges that have entered into the classroom setting also over the last 20 years. You know, this case, that case, what you can do, what you can't do, how you can do it, how you can't do it, all that kind of stuff. Do you have somebody on staff that monitors that kind of thing, or is that part of what your responsibility is to, with whatever the networks are and the associations that you're part of, is to monitor that kind of stuff to see, boy, we're going to have to change something radically different because of this case determination. Or
sure. You know, and it's difficult to keep up with all the new laws and all the new requirements. You know, it seems to be we're having bulletins coming out almost weekly, either at the federal level or at the state level. You know, these requirements or these laws have changed. So it is tough to keep up with that. And it is a responsibility that we have in the county office to be able to inform school districts, hey, these are the things that have come out that are new. These are the high points. These are the things that you need to address. And here's how we can help you. Or how can we help you? You know, there's that aspect of things. So absolutely, there's a monitoring piece, but then there's also the how do we provide professional development? You know, we use the services of school and college legal services, for example, out of Santa Rosa to help do workshops around these legal aspects of education, which, you know, when you're a teacher in the classroom...
That's not really...
That's not your priority, yeah, right?
Yeah. Until something goes awry.
Right.
And
right.
Then all of a sudden, everybody in the school is hypersensitive to it.
Sure. So we want to make sure our administrators know what those things are and what to look for and how to support their staff.
So you're teaching the administrators, or are you looking to get that down to the teacher directly?
It depends. There are some things that teachers would need to know in terms of how does this impact my classroom practice. But many of those things are things that the administrators need to know so that they can inform the teachers when they go in, they do their observations or their evaluations, or they meet with teachers and talk about, you know, best practices in the legal framework.
So that's more like HR law rather than it is in the classrooms.
Definitely HR is a big piece of that, right? Yeah. But you know, if you're in Maple Creek, your HR and your administrator, you know, and other duties that is the same person. So it is a big challenge.
Yeah, for the smaller
districts. Yeah.
KINS News and Information Time is 8:43.
Hey, folks! Flying local is buying local, and with 3 airlines serving 5 destinations, Humboldt County has more choices than ever. Fly on American, Avelo, or United Airlines. We have service to Denver, Hollywood Burbank, LAX, Phoenix, and San Francisco airports. Now's the time to book and save on that getaway. Or have friends and family fly to visit the beautiful Redwood Coast. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org. Fly Humboldt, more flights to more destinations.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Michael Davis Hughes from the County Office of Ed. A couple of interesting things have happened since, I guess since Chris was here and since you were here with old what's-his-name?
With my old boss.
Yeah, that old guy. I'm sure.
I better say not old because he's actually younger than me. So,
yeah, that's okay. He just looks older. How's that?
Tell him that the next time he's in here.
Don't worry. I'm sure he's hearing it right now. We got a couple things that are national issues that are going on. Masking in the classrooms with the kids. Yeah. Edict this, edict that, recommended this, recommended that. Labor union saying this, labor union saying that. What is the current status of that and how come?
Yeah, so the current status, well, today was a significant day in that Humboldt County Public Health lifted the mandate for outdoor masking or the requirement for outdoor masking. They still recommend it to mitigate.
So it's like playground?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, well, it can be playground, you know, hallways. So
Parking lots. Neighborhoods. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So inside the classroom, we still have the masking mandate. And they actually the
and that's county doing that, state, or is that state, local determination?
State.
Okay.
Inside the classrooms, yes. So the state had the recommendation of outside masking for quite some time, but county public health had the requirement of outdoor masking until today. And so now it's in line with the state.
So all of us that were walking on sidewalks and didn't have masks on were in violation?
Yeah, so we're talking specifically about schools.
Oh, school specific. Yeah. Okay, never mind.
Yeah.
I don't walk the hallways of schools or sidewalks of schools. So I have no reference.
And I tell you, the kids have been tremendous in terms of, you know, we want kids to be safe. That's number one priority. And I think there's a recognition of that. And then, you know, the kids have been very responsive. They're more malleable than we are as adults, right?
Oh, I thought gullible.
Well, they trust us.
There you go.
Implicitly, they trust us.
There you go, yeah.
And when you have a trusting relationship with the students, then they are going to, they're going to go along with it.
Yeah.
Especially if they know it's in their best interest.
Yeah. I've always thought that there'd be a cool coloring contest. Nobody's picked up on it, so okay, fine, whatever. So that's one of the ones that are going out. And also this, you knew what the definition was, CRT.
Yeah, critical race theory.
There we go, thank you. That also seems to be getting, other than in my mind, a lot of traction.
It is.
Nationally also, yeah. That there are lenses, perspectives, biases, whatever you want to call it. That are now coming into play, that are referencing things that have been in play. And I could see that could run up the flagpole really quickly and become quite a significant issue. That's something that any of the schools have dealt with or are dealing with in Humboldt County at this point?
Absolutely, in terms of the questions that are coming from parents and from the community. Like, are you teaching critical race theory in your schools? And if so, I think I might have my child. You know, that kind of questioning is coming up. And it's a narrative, I think, that has definitely been misrepresented in, social media.
Ice Cube is misrepresented in social media, let alone getting out into things. Yeah.
So, it's in concert with the release of the ethnic studies curriculum for the state of California. So that's going to be a requirement now in high school. I think that, for us, what we have to make sure is that we're supporting our districts, supporting our schools with their work around equity, right? And equity also involves understanding the students that we have in the classroom, the environment, the culture in which those students are have been brought up, their history and
culture heritage. Culture and heritage, yeah.
Their history and heritage. One of the things that was told to me and that really stuck with me is that, and it was around curriculum, and making sure that when you're selecting curriculum, that you provide an opportunity for students to see through the window, and also that it's a mirror for them. So they see themselves in the curriculum, but they can also see through that window of other perspectives and,
kind of like, where do I fit?
Where do I fit? But not only where do I fit, but I do fit. And this is how I fit.
Yeah.
I think that's really important, is that we see both the window and the mirror. We provide the window and the mirror for the kids.
Kind of an interesting approach for science, for history, for a lot of things. But hasn't that always been the case? And that's the goal of the teacher? To show the kid, make it personalized?
It is. I mean, it is. And we need to make that implicit.
Oh, grist for the mill for the future. All right. Let's see.
Fun times ahead.
Yeah, you always just keep showing up. We'll have fun. See you everybody tomorrow.